This is Brigitte Mouchet with the Solari Wellness Series. I hope you're all doing well. Today, we'll talk about CBD or not CBD with Dr. Robin Sika. Now that hemp has made it out of Schedule 1 controlled substances in the US, it is finally legal to cultivate and process hemp. This opens the doors to a multi-million dollar opportunity for farmers, businesses, and investors. According to Hemp Business Journal and Vote Hemp, hemp sales have been tripling from 2012 to 2016 and are projected to hit $1.8 billion by 2020. I'm sure most of you have either tried CBD or are currently experimenting with some kind of CBD product. And if you're like me, you find that everybody around you is doing the same thing. Even Catherine has been exploring the benefits of CBD. She recently met with Dr. Brent Davis and Ed Harrison, who have a hemp farm in Tennessee and are marketing hemp products in addition to floral essences. We'll post the links to their websites on the Wellness Series page. It's heavensenthemp.com and floralife.com. They seem to be very serious about the quality of their products. In our interview today with Dr. Robin, we'll discuss the health and wellness benefits of hemp-derived CBD products and how to choose a good CBD product. It is not easy as there are so many new products becoming available every day. Dr. Robin is an expert in hormonal balance and integrative medicine. She was certified by the American Board of Clinical Metal Toxicology and Chelation Therapy in 1996 and the American Board of Integrative Holistic Medicine in 2009. Dr. Robin graduated with a Bachelor of Arts from the University of Toledo, Ohio, and received her doctorate from the Medical College of Ohio in 1982. Over the years, she developed an integrative approach for assessing and addressing patients' health conditions by identifying underlying stressors, whether from spiritual, emotional, physical, or social origin. Dr. Robin has been a passionate advocate for integrative medicine and served for many years on the board of directors of International College of Integrative Medicine. Dr. Robin is also the founder, president, and medical director of an innovative and successful integrative practice of natural and alternative medicine called Center for the Healing Arts, now located in Westport, Connecticut. In her practice, she uses a variety of natural therapies, including CBD hemp oil. And that's why Dr. Robin is with us today. Dr. Robin also provides second opinion services on my wellness service platform, Hiloha. Dr. Robin, welcome to the Solari Wellness Series.
Brigitte, it's so wonderful to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me to speak on this really exciting topic.
You're welcome. Let's start by clarifying a few terms. What exactly is CBD? Where does it come from? And what is the difference between hemp, cannabis, and marijuana? Can you help us sort this out?
Of course. Well, CBD is currently a really big buzzword, but people don't really understand what they're talking about. CBD literally is cannabidiol, which is only one of 80 phytocannabinoids in the cannabis plant. There are 80 others, so it's important to understand that it's only one component of hemp oil or the marijuana plant. And it comes from plants that are in that cannabis family. All of the plants in the cannabis family produce these phytocannabinoid-like substances, of which CBD is just one component. CBD and other phytocannabinoids are found in the hemp plant, as well as in the marijuana plant, both of which are different varieties of cannabis sativa. Now, cannabis is actually what we call the genus in biology, which is when a researcher, a biologist, names a specific group of plants or animals, They have a genus, which is a related group of, you know, you think about dogs are all in a category of a genus, and there's many different types of dogs, which are, you know, kind of the species, just to get an idea of what we're talking about. So there are many different varieties of cannabis. Cannabis sativa plant has a couple of different varieties. The marijuana plant is actually a flowering herb, and it's indigenous all over the world. Marijuana is cultivated for high levels of THC, which is concentrated in those flowers and the buds of the plant. Hemp oil, on the other hand, is close relative, but doesn't have that same THC production because it's not the flowering variety, to make it kind of simple. There are many other forms of cannabis, like cannabis indica, cannabis americana, et cetera, that have been cultivated over the years for a variety of different purposes, not just medicinal, but rope, clothing, sails, paper, all kinds of different aspects that it can be used for. And hemp doesn't have, because it only has a tiny production of the THC or tetrahydrocannabinol, it doesn't make you high because the percentage is so low that it just really doesn't have that same effect as marijuana, whether it's smoked or eaten or however it's consumed. And I think that's one concern that people have, because when you hear the term cannabis or cannabidiol or cannabinoids, there's that, oh, are we talking about pot here? Are we talking about marijuana? Is there a danger? Is it going to make me high? And it's just, remember that cannabis is just the name of that genus, that group of plants. And from there, as the research has started to look at the different components in these plants, that name cannabis or cannabinoid has been used to identify certain components. So if you think about, we have certain phytocannabinoids in these plants. Those are phyto meaning plant-based cannabinoid-like substances. And as I mentioned before, there are over 80 of them that have been identified and are being studied. The best known of them is THC, which is the component in the marijuana plant that does make you high, does have some health benefits, but also has some real downsides that we're going to talk about in a little bit. And CBD or cannabidiol. And the reason those two have been gotten the most attention and people know those names more, those terms more, is because they've been studied the longest. THC was the first to be identified and CBD was the second, but there, you know, is also CBG, CBNA, CBC. There's a whole slew of these phytocannabinoids, and many of them are starting to be studied and they're showing very similar positive health benefits to CBD and even THC. So, you know, just because something's a phytocannabinoid doesn't mean it's THC. It could be some other component. So you need to think about it that way. Like I said, a lot of the other lesser known phytocannabinoids than CBD are still showing the same type of positive benefits on the immune system, on pain levels, on decreasing inflammation, on increasing mood and decreasing anxiety and improving sleep, and all those things that are becoming known as the benefits of hemp oil. And I tend to use the term hemp oil over CBD because CBD is really a misnomer. It's not, it's just one, as I've said, just one component. Whereas when I say refer to hemp oil, I'm referring to all of the components extracted from hemp into the oil, which includes not only the phytocannabinoids, but also things like terpenes and vitamins and minerals and essential fatty acids that all have synergistic positive health benefits. So focusing on just CBD is sort of like fractionating out one piece that's and missing the whole big picture.
I see. So when we buy CBD oil, what do we buy? Do we buy hemp oil or CBD hemp oil? It seems like it's more hemp oil with the whole...
Well, you got to read labels, because if it says CBD isolate, then it means it's just CBD by itself. If it says full spectrum hemp oil, and a lot of sellers will put the term CBD on there because it does contain about 5% CBD, they'll put that on there because that's the term that people recognize, where people don't recognize the term hemp oil as readily as CBD. And they're not lying. It does have CBD in it. But, and again, my opinion, after researching this for a number of years now, and also I've gotten experience with a lot of different products, well, personally, as well as with patients, I believe the full spectrum hemp oil, the full herb, is really what has the best benefits.
I see. Thank you. And then there are also hemp seeds, right, that you can add to salads and things like that. Is that, what's the relationship with what we are talking about?
Well, they're all, you know, all of the products, like, you know, hemp hearts and, you know, different products that are made from hemp that are like nutritional products, they have their benefits, but the concentration of phytocannabinoids in those is relatively low. I'm sure there is some, but in terms of, you know, sort of the, you know, maximizing health benefits, there's certain qualities to a hemp oil product that improves the absorption, improves the bioavailability, which we'll talk about, that makes a huge difference in terms of, you know, if somebody's going to feel a benefit or not, if they're going to, you know, notice improvements in their health or not. Do I think they're, you know, hemp hearts, et cetera, are healthy things to consume in your diet? I do. I just don't think you're going to see the kind of therapeutic value that you would with a good full spectrum hemp oil that's bioavailable.
I see. Good. So would you say that CBD from hemp is better?
Well, cannabidiol is cannabidiol. It doesn't matter what source that it's from. There's CBD in marijuana. There's varieties of marijuana that are higher in CBD and lower in THC. So it's kind of a odd question, because the CBD is CBD. In my opinion, I think that because there are some downsides health-wise to THC, and certain people are more susceptible than others to those, you know, raising blood pressure, increasing sympathetic nervous system tone, psychotic episodes and things like that, that, you know, hemp gets away from that because there's virtually no THC. In order for hemp to be sold legally in the U.S., it has to be less than 0.3% THC, which, as I previously stated, it's not enough that you would feel any kind of psychoactive effect or feeling high from it. Most people don't even feel, you know, sedated in any way from taking hemp oil with CBD. So I think hemp is a better source than marijuana for that reason, for the majority of people, particularly if they're not under the care of a, you know, physician who knows this area of medicine. But, you know, CBD in and of itself is cannabidiol. Yeah. The FDA actually, in November of 2017, granted a patent to a drug company to market cannabidiol for use in two specific seizure disorders in children that are kind of rare genetic disorders, and they're very difficult to control the seizures, but CBD is effective. So they allowed this drug company to isolate just cannabidiol, just CBD, and market it as a drug. And the reason I mention that is that's how powerful it is in terms of its effect. I believe it's not as effective when you take it out of the full plant as it would be with the full plant. But it also raises some questions about, in terms of, is the FDA going to act and pull products from the market that are pure CBD isolates? And that's a definite possibility. They've already published some comments to that effect. So again, hemp oil is always going to be legal because they can't patent it. It's a natural herb. It's a naturally occurring substance. But when you isolate out just one chemical component, the FDA views that as a drug. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's talk about the legality aspect of things. So what is legal, what is not in the U.S.? And then do you have an idea about outside of the U.S., what's going on?
Well, I think that there's still a lot of gray area. Now, they passed the farm bill, and in there was language that decriminalizes, or essentially makes legal, the cultivation and, you know, manufacture of hemp products. Hemp was previously classed with marijuana as a Schedule I drug. And a Schedule I drug, it's pretty severe. There aren't too many things that are in that category. Heroin is one that comes to mind. And it basically says that those drugs, those Schedule I drugs, there's no medical use. There's no health benefits. There's no medical use. And they're completely dangerous and should never be allowed to be used. So a physician, technically, by the federal regulations up until December when that was passed, technically, you couldn't prescribe it. Now, states have gone outside of that and allowed the sale of hemp products, allowed certainly the sale of marijuana products, either with a prescription as medical marijuana, or now a number of states have, you know, just legalized marijuana for purchase. Now, technically, again, still at the federal level, that hasn't kept up. It's still considered, I believe, a Schedule I marijuana. So there's a lot of gray area, and there's a lot of states that have variably either legalized or restricted hemp and or marijuana. So you kind of got to know what's going on in your own state. And even though the Farm Bill changes the federal mandate, which is good because now the states, you know, aren't legalizing something that still is illegal at the federal level. So it's definitely going to improve the situation, but it still is not clear exactly how these products are going to be regulated at the state level. If they're still going to, you know, each state is going to do its own little thing and create its own, you know, legislation around it, or how that's going to go. I mean, I believe as the health benefits of hemp and CBD and the phytocannabinoids become more well known, I think it's going to be pretty hard to hold back the tsunami of demand and research and documentation that this is really beneficial for virtually everyone. And again, I think the same thing, there's states outside the U.S., you have countries that are, it's perfectly legal to import hemp. There's changes in Canada within the last year that allow the sale of hemp. And oddly enough, Canada is one of the major producers of hemp, and yet it wasn't legal to import hemp products. And that's it's getting cleared up, but it's sort of on a country by country basis. And obviously there are countries like the Netherlands that have been for years very, very liberal on both hemp and marijuana. And then there's other countries that's still very, very, very restricted. So again, it's where you live. You got to look into the legislation of, you know, where the laws are.
Yeah.
It's an evolving terrain for the next few years, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and if we look at marijuana for a second, do you think that the legalization of marijuana is really a good thing, knowing that the plant is so much stronger than it was 30 years ago? Not that I know anything about it because I never tried, but that's what I've heard.
Well, certainly over the last 30 years, there have been efforts to cultivate and breed the plants, essentially selecting out the stronger THC content, also selecting out stronger CBD content. So there are strains that are anything from 30-to-1 concentration to 1-to-1 concentration of THC to CBD. Now, you know, I'm not going to make a comment on whether it's a good thing to legalize it or not. I think overall, marijuana has been really villainized in a way that is way out of proportion to the downside of, you know, the side effects. Again, as I mentioned previously, there are people who are very susceptible to getting like a psychotic, you know, a hallucinogenic effect from THC. And there are other people who can smoke marijuana and it doesn't affect them that way ever, no matter how much they smoke or no matter how strong it is. So I think it's more of a genetic susceptibility. And there is actually some genetic testing now available where someone could test to see if they're more prone to having adverse effects from THC. And if somebody's interested in either getting a medical marijuana card, here in Connecticut, we only have medical marijuana legal, you know, checking to make sure that they're okay with it before they try the THC component. So, like I said, there are downsides. So people just have to be very cautious. If you're in a state where it's legal and you can buy it, you know, somebody has to make sure they're safe before they try it because it does have some downsides. Now, when you compare the side effects of marijuana, even with the THC, the stronger THC, to the devastating effects of opiates, these strong opiates that, you know, people are dying from in record numbers. I mean, marijuana is such a safer drug than these opiates, the fentanyls and some of the ones that are even stronger. The FDA just actually came out and approved another long-acting, strong, even stronger form of opiate. And here we are in the middle of an opiate crisis. I don't understand why it's okay to do that, but they're going to, you know, say that CBD and hemp oil is dangerous. It's just kind of like where your interests lie, FDA, you know, not quite sure where they're going with that. Because certainly marijuana on the, even though it's still considered Schedule 1, the overall number of people having side effects that are, you know, life-threatening are so minimal compared to prescription, narcotic, opiate drugs. So I think it's a consideration that people need to be aware of, that there could be side effects with marijuana, with THC, but it's still the overall, the safety and the number of people that can be helped by medical marijuana. I've seen patients where it's been actually, you know, my patients that I prescribed for here in Connecticut, it's been life-changing for patients with MS, patients with cancer, patients with PTSD, patients with severe pain. Not everybody likes the way it feels. So some people actually prefer the hemp oil with just CBD and they don't want to continue with the medical marijuana. But for some patients, it's really been very useful. So, it's a double-edged sword, but I think it's, I think we have to be considerate of it, but I don't think we need to be afraid of it.
Uh-huh. Good. And so back to CBD. So why do you think, what is the main reason why everybody is talking about CBD right now, from investment advisors to medical doctors and wellness experts? So what's the big...
The fact that CBD is so tremendously effective. And when I say CBD, I'm talking about phytocannabinoids. These phytocannabinoids are so effective. And I know we're going to talk about the endocannabinoid system in a minute. So just suffice to say that these components have only been discovered in the late 80s, the early 1990s. And the research has mostly been done outside the U.S. because hemp was still considered a Schedule 1 drug. It was very difficult to research it here. So now we're finally getting, I mean, there's over 25,000 studies now on the benefits of THC, CBD, and other phytocannabinoids. As we start to understand why that is, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, the massive health benefit to these components and the numbers of people who are benefiting by taking hemp oil products, this is the, you know, a sudden opportunity where this is suddenly becoming legal. We're relatively recently getting the information about it. Medical doctors have never been trained in this area. They, when I was in medical school, we didn't even know the endocannabinoid system existed. You know, so all of a sudden it's opening up and people are realizing this is a significant alternative, you know, for pain, for, you know, emotional disorders, for all kinds of different, conditions. And so it's a huge investment opportunity. It's a huge business opportunity. There's, you know, dozens of companies that are jumping in the market. You know, Forbes and other, you know, the Wall Street Journal, they're all projecting this to be a multi-billion-dollar market within the next 2 years.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the cannabinoid system then and the main benefits of CBD hemp oil on the body and for well-being.
So it turns out, and the researcher who's done most of this work, discovering first THC and then CBD and a lot of the research on the components and what the health benefits are, is a doctor by the name of Rafael Meshulam, and he's in Israel. And he discovered that our body has receptors. We have sort of like locks for these type of cannabinoid compounds to go into. I always think of a receptor as being like the lock and the neurotransmitter or the chemical messenger, in this case, phytocannabinoids, are like the key that goes in there and it turns on some system in the body. Okay. So if you think about it, we're sitting here with these receptors for cannabinoid substances, cannabinoid chemicals. Why? So you look back in evolution and literally all vertebrates, so you're going back about 6 million years in evolution, all vertebrates have these endocannabinoid receptors and make compounds in the body that are similar, that look similar to the phytocannabinoids. In the humans, the two predominant endocannabinoids that are made by our own bodies are 2-AG and anandamide. And 2-AG works predominantly on the immune system and the inflammatory system of the body, and the anandamide works predominantly on the central nervous system. But literally almost every tissue in the human body, as well as, you know, virtually all animals, have these receptors for these compounds. So there's a lot of things that get affected by cannabinoids, whether they're made by our own body or whether we consume them by consuming hemp or marijuana. I mean, a lot of systems in the body are affected, and predominantly in a very positive way. The endocannabinoid system, as it turns out, is one of the, I would say it is the super regulatory system of the regulatory systems in the body. So if you look at neurotransmitters such as serotonin, norepinephrine, dopamine, epinephrine, etc., they regulate mood and they regulate the way certain messages are transmitted in the brain. And if they're out of balance, you could either be anxious or you could be more depressed. But what regulates those neurotransmitters is actually the endocannabinoid system, predominantly in the human body, in the endomide. So by increasing the amount of cannabinoids in the system, then it's going to normalize the balance between the excitatory and the calming neurotransmitters and restore health to the nervous system. So imagine all the positive benefits there in terms of sleep, in terms of mood, in terms of, you know, feeling relaxed and calm, feeling, you know, that sense of well-being, that sense of wholeness. Those are all dependent on the endocannabinoid system, balancing those neurotransmitters out. And the same is true in the endocrine system, balancing everything from blood sugar and blood pressure, the other hormones in the body, such as thyroid and adrenals. In the immune system, the cannabinoids upregulate the positive part of the immune system that helps to fight bacteria and viruses and even cancer. And it downregulates the inflammatory markers that cause inflammation and autoimmune disease and arthritis, that type of thing. So imagine all of a sudden you have access to this system that kind of overrides everything else and balances it out in a very homeostatic way that brings everything back into level again. And, you know, because of our diets, because of the toxins we're, you know, exposed to, et cetera, you know, our bodies in a lot of ways have been thrown way out of balance, and we're trying to take supplements or medications that bring things back into balance. But here we have a system that kind of preempts all of that and restores health in a adaptogenic way, where it's actually restoring the body to balance.
Wow, that sounds really, really good. And so do you think everybody can benefit from this?
I actually do believe that, you know, because of the stress in our modern environment and our diets are too toxic and too refined and don't have a lot of nutrition in them, I think that, and there's a number of reasons why the endocannabinoids either get broken down too quickly or we don't have enough of the substrate to make them. So a lot of people today are walking around with an endocannabinoid deficiency syndrome. And some of them have very severe symptoms such as fibromyalgia or, you know, intractable depression. But the majority of us have just, you know, we call it stress or whatever, but the majority of us aren't making the endocannabinoids that would be optimal for our body. So in my opinion, I think taking phytocannabinoids in the form of hemp oil is a preventive for virtually everyone. That even if you don't have particular symptoms, or you know, you take it for a few days and you don't notice a big, huge difference, doesn't necessarily mean it's not balancing things out in your body and it's not helping you. So I think, yes, everyone can benefit. And I think there are specific categories of people that it benefits most dramatically. People with pain, people with insomnia, people with anxiety, people with inflammation and arthritis. Those are the people that I see generally get the most benefit, noticeable benefit the quickest. I've also seen people get off blood pressure medication and being able to correct their blood sugar to the point where they were able to reduce or get off blood sugar medication. Now, obviously, that's got to be combined with diet and other things, but it's a powerful tool adjunctively for so many different health challenges.
Mm-hmm. Good. And what about the opioid epidemic? Do you think that it could provide a solution for it, or it's not related?
I think it already is providing a solution for it. When you talk to people who are in chronic pain and they're able to reduce their medication in half because they're either taking hemp oil or they have, you know, a medical marijuana card, it's pretty dramatic how much it's able to reduce in so many patients the requirement for opioids. And CBD in and of itself, it goes and it sits in the pain receptor and kind of decreases the sensitivity of the pain receptors, what they call the mu receptors. And so CBD, and I'm sure the other phytocannabinoids, I mean, a lot of them have been studied for pain. They down-regulate that need, that our sensation of pain raises your pain tolerance and decreases the sensitivity to pain, which is huge because opiates actually do the opposite, which is one of the reasons you need more and more drugs to get the same pain relief. And there's a number of reasons for that, but that's one of them. So yeah. CBD actually helps to go in there and block that pain receptor, but it also blocks the breakdown of our own endocannabinoids, such as anandamide, which have an important impact on pain as well. So, you know, it does a number of things in the body to reduce pain. So, yeah, I think it's a much better solution than narcotics. And, you know, with what we're dealing with in terms of the number of deaths from opioids, we got to do something, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this is a huge way that we can approach that.
Mm-hmm. And so what about, do you see that as a solution for other types of addictions?
I think it's an important adjunct because most people get addicted for what reason? They get addicted because they're anxious, or they get addicted because they're depressed, or they get, you know, they're under a lot of stress, or they can't sleep and they get addicted. If you can provide something that naturally restores health on that front, then the person can deal with the addiction more easily because they're not fighting the symptom that they feel like they need that benzodiazepine or whatever drug it is that they're taking to treat that. So I think that it's not a cure. Let me make that clear. But I think it's a very useful adjunct in decreasing symptomatology that drives addiction.
Uh-huh. I see. So let's talk about how we can consume CBD hemp oil. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, there are a whole bunch of different forms of hemp oil, from just oil, straight oil. You can vape it, so you inhale it, and it goes through the lung. People have, you know, consumables such as gummies or other products that you would eat. It comes in capsules. There are a number of topical products, and I think they all have pros and cons. The problem with hemp oil, or virtually any type of oil, is that the bioavailability is very limited. The bioavailability of hemp oil is about 6%. So when people go out and buy hemp oil, they might be buying something that's 10 milligrams per dose or 5 milligrams per dose, and they're only getting 6% of that. So if you're taking 10 milligram dose, you're really only getting 0.6 milligrams actually into the body if you take it either orally or under the tongue sublingually. And so it's really important to look at how we increase the bioavailability to get more into the body so that you have more of an impact. So one of the things that people have found, and this is true both with medical marijuana as well as hemp oil, is that if you inhale it, if you, you know, in the case of smoking pot, you're burning the actual leaf, which has some downside to it because you're getting all the combustion products into your lung as well, which isn't so healthy. But they can vape the oil, which is basically aerosolizing it and inhaling it. And you get, there's a lot of absorptive surface in the lung and you get a pretty good absorption. So I would say for people with pain, that's oftentimes one of the better solutions of getting the cannabinoids into the system. I prefer to do it by the hemp oils that I've researched that are water soluble, that are bioavailable, hydrophilic. Those are all very similar terms, but when you increase the bioavailability to 90 to 100%, then all of a sudden you're getting, you're taking a 10 milligram dose or a 15 milligram dose, you're getting the whole amount or pretty close to the whole amount. And you see huge differences in terms of how it impacts people's health over just any old hemp oil product. I'm not a huge fan of vaping. It does get better bioavailability, but I think the jury is still out on how healthy it is for the lung.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you see that on a regular basis. So,
yeah. Okay. So what else do we need to know about the products that are available so that we can make safe choices and get optimal results? Manufacturing process, what do we need to look for?
So as far as safety, the most critical thing to look at when you look at a label is to make sure that it's organically sourced. Hemp is what we call bioconcentrator, and it's actually been used in countries where there's a lot of toxicity in the soil. It grows very quickly, and it kind of sucks all the toxins out of the soil. So you don't want to be consuming non-organic hemp because it's going to concentrate anything in that soil that's toxic. And it'll be compressed out into the oil as well. So non-organic CBD or hemp products are not safe. Need to be organically sourced, absolutely. Now you can use that hemp for paper or some other use, but you wouldn't want to use it for human consumption or, you know, animal consumption.
Right.
So that's number one, is to make sure it's organic. Make sure that the company that's manufacturing it is using good manufacturing processes, that they're, you know, extracting the oil in a way that's safe, not using chemical solvents. The companies that I've researched and the ones that I recommend, you can actually go on their website and see their analyses of their products. And you can see that there's, you know, no mold in there. There's no heavy metals. There's no pesticides. There's no solvents. You can see that they're doing the right thing as far as sourcing and manufacturing, you know, to get to the oil. Where it's grown is obviously important. There are differences in terms of content of different phytocannabinoids based on amount of, you know, rainfall and amount of sunlight and things like that. But I think as long as it's organic, you're still going to be on the safe side with it. Now, hemp oil at most only has 0.3% THC. I think that that's fine unless you are in a profession where you frequently get drug tested, in which case you may want to find a brand that takes the THC, even that little tiny bit of THC, out so that you're a little safer in terms of, you know, not showing up positive on a drug test. And, you know, increasingly different professions are being drug tested for that. And then we get to the absorption bioavailability, which I started talking about before. Now, there's a number of different ways to increase the bioavailability. There's a process called making it into liposomes, which is like hiding the good stuff on the inside, like turning the molecule inside out so that it's not hydrophobic, it becomes hydrophilic. And that's one way to do it. That increases it to about 30% from 6% absorption. You can micellize it, which probably gets it up to about 80%. You can do a combination of the two of those, and I've seen some good results with products that do that. The newest, extremely bioavailable product that I've been using recently is called 10X Pure because they have they combine it with an oxygenated oil, which in and of itself has health benefits. And that's why I like that one, because you're not only getting all the benefits of the CBD and the other phytocannabinoids and the terpenes, et cetera, you're also getting the benefits of the essential fatty acids that are also being made bioavailable. So the body they get into the body and they have antiviral, antibacterial and antifungal effects, which is pretty profound in terms of inflammation, in terms of, you know, infections, as well as in terms of cancer development. So there's some real benefits to using that product because it also has that component in it that has some really great health benefits in addition. And then it makes the CBD hemp oil almost 100% absorbed. And it actually gets into the cell membrane pretty thoroughly, as well as across the blood-brain barrier fairly effectively. So, you know, again, we have all these components in our body, and, you know, how much result you're going to get on a certain condition is whether you're going to get it to the place where it's needed. And if it's not bioavailable and it's not getting to the tissue or the organ where it's really needed, then you're not probably going to see the benefit that you'd like to see.
Yeah, that's very, very useful. Thank you. And then would you choose a product with a little bit of THC, or you talked about people who need to be tested, but otherwise, is there any benefit in having a little bit of THC with the product, or you wouldn't bother?
I think that there's a lot of controversy around that. And there's people in the camp of like, you have to have THC. And then there's people in the camp that THC is not necessary. If you look at the mountain of research on all these different phytocannabinoids, and that, you know, most of the time researchers don't study the whole plant. They don't study the whole herb. There's not a lot of money to be made in that. They don't get a lot of funding for it. So they're studying each one of these things components by itself instead of looking at the whole components. So I don't know that there's research that can really answer that question. And there's people that are very strong opinionated on both sides. I don't believe that 0.3 THC has, that there's enough there to have a really positive therapeutic benefit. On the other hand, I don't think there's a downside to it at that level either. Even in people that have, you know, would be susceptible to, you know, some of the adverse side effects with higher levels of THC, such as you would find in marijuana.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any danger with there if there's that 0.3%. Mm-hmm. You know, other than obviously you could test positive on a drug test, which could be problematic for a lot of people. And there are different drug tests too. So you have to know, if I can just go aside for a minute, there's the older drug tests test for cannabinoids. And if you're taking hemp oil, you are going to test positive for cannabinoids. You want to be testing positive for cannabinoids because you're paying for the oil and taking the oil. You want to have that benefit in your body. The newer drug tests test for THC specifically. So that's what I'm talking about, that if you get a product that doesn't have any THC in it, then you wouldn't test positive on those tests.
Mm-hmm. Good. Now, is it possible for you to share some of the results you've seen with some of your patients and maybe talk about any contraindications that you have seen?
So I've seen some pretty remarkable things, especially since I started using, you know, really good quality bioavailable products. Now, it's been about 4 years, I think, 4 or 5 years now since I started using, you know, recommending different products. And, you know, some of the ones that are really well known on the market, my patients have tried. Some of them benefit, some don't. You know, there was one company that I was recommending that was one of the first out on the market 4 years ago or so. And it was very expensive. And I kind of got away from it because I was disappointed in that it, you know, like I had a patient with seizures that it sort of diminished the seizures a bit. It helped, but it didn't really get rid of them. And so I kind of got frustrated with it until about a year and a half ago, I discovered a product that was mycelized in liposomal, about a 90 to 95% absorption. And what I started seeing is people, I could give a dose in the office and probably 50% of the people would notice a difference within 5 to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. With anxiety, with, you know, their stress level, with their pain level, et cetera. And that kind of very quickly got my attention because it was like, whoa, what's happening here? I've never seen that with any medication or any supplement or any treatment that I've recommended. I've almost never seen anything work that quickly. And so I got really fascinated with it, and I got focused on the people that were getting these dramatic results. Like actually a friend of mine who's a doctor, he's a pain management specialist, and has had, you know, lived with chronic 8 out of 10 level pain for 22 years, doesn't want to and can't take narcotics. So he just lives with the pain, and he's tried medical marijuana. He's tried a number of different CBD products on the market and never really noticed much of anything. And when we tried this product with him, his pain was literally gone within 10 minutes. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And I think that's because of the bioavailability. It went in sublingually, it got in very quickly, and it was very effective because it was getting to those receptor sites. So I've seen some really dramatic things like that. And then I've seen patients where they, it didn't really do much for me. I encourage people to take it for at least 3 months, a good product. If you're not getting results with a product you're trying, then try something that's much more bioavailable or try a different form of it and do it for at least 3 months. Because what I've seen in some people, for instance, one patient had taken it for 2 months for his knee pain and didn't notice anything different. But after 2 months, he goes to his primary care physician and they do blood work and they do his blood pressure. He's on blood pressure medication. He's on a statin drug. He was on medication for blood sugar. And his cholesterol was so low, they stopped the cholesterol medication. His blood pressure was so low, they stopped his blood pressure medications. And after that, then he finally started getting benefit for his pain and his arthritis in his knees. But it was almost like the innate wisdom of the body was saying, no, it's more important that we balance out your blood sugar and your blood pressure, get you off these medications than it is to relieve the pain. I thought that was just a really interesting example that you really got to stick with it because, you know, first of all, make sure it's a form that your body's getting benefit from. And then secondly, stick with it long enough at a high enough dose that you're going to see other results because it affects so many areas of the body. And we don't know what the body's going to say. This is the most important thing to heal right now. You know, we can't predict that. We can't control that. So it may not be that the CBD hemp oil isn't working. It's just working on something that you're not, you know, is not so obvious to you.
Yeah, that's a really good example. Thank you. And then you obviously have been trying them, right? Is there anything you can share about that?
I'm a pretty healthy person. I've taken a lot of good supplementation. I do a lot of detox, you know, so I don't consider myself very, a really good candidate because I'm not going to notice something really dramatic. The original one that I took 4 years ago, I didn't notice any difference with. Took it for about 2-3 months and stopped it. I started last year on the liposomal micellized one. It did affect my thyroid. I have hypothyroidism and it did improve my hypothyroidism, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I needed to cut my dose down. But other than that, I didn't really, maybe I felt a little bit better, you know, mood wise. When I switched to the 10X Pure hemp oil, which crosses the blood-brain barrier, it was dramatic for me. It was really a big improvement in terms of mood, in terms of mental focus and concentration, real sense of well-being. It was dramatic within a couple of days. So, you know, I think over time it's had effect on, you know, I'm getting old enough, I have a little bit of aches and pains and stiffness here and there. And, you know, I think it's definitely diminished all that, but nothing as dramatic as that feeling of like my brain coming alive after about 2 days. It's remarkable.
Yeah. So should we talk about some brands that you would recommend and why?
My favorite brand, when I say favorite, it's based on the fact that the research on 10X Pure is remarkable. And, you know, that's really increasing the delivery system of the CBD and the other phytocannabinoids. So that I would have to say that that's the product that I think is the most beneficial at this point. And that comes from a company called CTFO. It's which is short for Changing the Future Outcome, which I also love the name of that company. And Brigitte, you can post the link, go and check that out, that company out. And they have about 70 different products, different strengths of the CBD hemp oil. They also have vape products and gummies and capsules. They also have a number of different skincare, anti-aging products that contain CBD and have benefits that way. So you can, you know, give people that link and they can go check out those products. I also think they're very reasonably priced based on the quality and the research that's gone into them. I think they're, you know, really reasonably priced products compared to some of the others that I've seen. I also like Zalisa's brand, and I think Med7 is the one that I started out with a couple of years ago, that or a year and a half ago, and that's available too, which is still, they're both still pretty bioavailable and therefore give pretty good effects pretty quickly.
Good. And so what do you think about the difference between products like creams and shampoo and pain relief creams that include CBD oil versus using the pure CBD?
I think, you know, I mean, obviously creams and topicals don't have a huge concentration, but I think you're actually getting it closer. You know, if you're doing it for, you know, improving the texture of your skin, improving the health of your skin, decreasing, like, you know, aging spots or sun damage spots, I mean, things like that, to get it topically is better. I don't think you need to take pure CBD or hemp oil and rub it on your skin. It's kind of oily, and I don't know, you know, the 10X Pure probably absorbs way better than the standard CBD oil. I have not tried that directly on my skin. Maybe I'll try it. But I've been using a number of CTFO's anti-aging skin creams, and I notice a big difference. Just the texture of my skin and, you know, wrinkles and things like that. I think it's been very effective, especially as I use it longer. And some of the products actually work pretty quickly. So I think there is definitely benefit to using CBD topically, combined in those things. I think shampoo, like, how long is it going to stay on your scalp to really be absorbed? However, they have combined it with a product called Anagaine in shampoos and hair treatments that after, it takes about 2 to 3 months, but in 2 to 3 months, people notice a huge improvement in hair growth, like if they're balding or they're losing hair. And I've seen many pictures of that people do get benefit when combined with the Anagaine product. There's a pain cream from CTFO, and I know there are other companies that make them. The Ultimate Deep Healing Pain Cream is the one that I've seen the best results with, although they do work when CBD is put in topically. As long as it's an area where, you know, you can get it to the area of pain. Now, sometimes I'll, you know, sit at the computer too long and I kind of get a little spasm in my low back. And I can put that pain cream on there and it'll go away within 5 minutes. I also have a patient who's been on significant doses of narcotics for neuropathy in his feet. And he can put that cream on and get the pain level down from a 6 or a 7 down to about a 2 with using a hemp oil cream. And I think the thing about hemp oil, about CBD, is that it, and things like neuropathy, it treats neuropathic pain, whereas opiates just kind of dull it a bit. It doesn't really get rid of it. It can't really address neuropathic pain. Also, things like fibromyalgia are helped tremendously by both oral and by topical, because you're actually correcting the issue instead of just trying to cover it up with a palliative pain relief. So yeah, I think there's a place for all of the topical type products as well.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So are there other plants or substances that have similar effects to CBD that we should know about and that you're familiar with?
Well, there's a whole new area of research going on, and they call it cannabomimetics. So in other words, plants or herbs that have components that mimic the effect of the phytocannabinoids on those endocannabinoid receptors. It may not be as dramatic, but they certainly can be beneficial. And I'm sure that the people listening to this health series are familiar with things like echinacea and hops and curcumin. Of course, curcumin, turmeric has been studied widely in terms of its benefit on the immune system, on decreasing inflammation, and also, anti-cancer benefits and lots of other benefits in it. So it makes sense that those types of plants are also having an impact on that homeostatic endocannabinoid system as well. Now, a lot of them, like curcumin, for instance, have a very low bioavailability. So just taking a teaspoon of turmeric, you're not going to get much absorption, maybe 1%. So it either has to be combined with something else or concentrated or a complex that gets a better absorption. Combining it with oil, for instance, increases the absorption, oddly enough, of curcumin. So when it's cooked like in a curry, you get better absorption than you do if you just take the powder in a capsule. But there are a number of substances, and I think there's more and more being discovered, that have similar benefits. And also that are synergistic, as I mentioned before, there. When you look at a whole plant, it's not just the major component. Like, for instance, white willow bark is an herb that is a good pain reliever. And the acetylsalicylic acid, which is aspirin, was originally extracted from white willow bark. And we all know aspirin and the other drugs that are similar to aspirin and their effects on, pain relief, but also their side effects. But white willow bark is the whole herb. Now, nobody studied, maybe herbalists have studied the whole herb, but you not only have the acetylsalicylic acid, but you have all these other terpenes and other phytocompounds that act synergistically in a whole herb versus an extract. So, it's really important to look at that too, because it's, we tend to, in our drug, pharmaceutical based world, to say, well, what's the active ingredient? And let's just get to the active ingredient, when maybe that's not the approach we should be taking. Maybe we really need to look at what are all the synergistic things that work together to make this, to get a better effect with lower side effects over the long run.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So I think we've discussed pretty much everything I wanted to talk about today. Is there anything else, any final thought you would like to share with our listeners?
I just hope that I've been able to convey how profound I feel that the knowledge and understanding of the phytocannabinoids, but also our endogenous cannabinoid system and how that impacts our health. How profound that is, that when you understand that and you learn how to be able to support that system in restoring homeostasis, how profound that effect is on your health. And that's really kind of the take home that I'd like to, get across to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. So Dr. Sika, thank you so much for your time today and for making us more knowledgeable about CBD and its wellness enhancing capabilities. Again, if people want to find you, they can sign up on Hiloha and easily book a second opinion session with you over the phone and ask you any question they might have. This is Brigitte Mouchet with the Solari Wellness Series. Thank you for listening, and take good care of yourself, because it's more fun to be well.